Now, lung cancer is the fifth most common cancer in Ireland, affecting both men and women, usually over the age of 50. Close to 2,700 people are diagnosed with lung cancer each year in this country. It can be treated in a number of different ways: drug therapy, surgery and radiotherapy, depending on the type and where it's found. And with January being Lung Cancer Awareness Month, we're going to chat about it further with Seamus Cotter from Shannon, who's in studio with me. Good morning to you, Seamus.
Good morning, Alan. Thanks for having me on your show.
No problem. Thanks very much for coming in. Seamus was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and was given 18 months to live. But thankfully, there's an upward curve in his story, which we'll be exploring further very shortly. And we also are joined by Aoife McNamara, who's the Irish Cancer Society Information Development Manager. But Seamus, I'll start with yourself. And your story's pretty incredible. Thankfully, has a happy ending. But can you take us back to the start and when you began to notice something was there?
Yeah. It was back in early 2016. I had recurring cases of phlebitis in my legs, which is kind of a swelling condition. Every time I got it, I received antibiotics, and I also went to the medical assessment unit over in the county hospital. And for a finish, one of the doctors in the medical assessment unit realised that I had a swollen gland under my collarbone and said, well, we need to get that investigated, get it checked. And I suppose, to cut a long story short, my GP sent me to the Galway Clinic through the A&E department. Mm. When I got there, they were very thorough. They gave me a CT scan very quickly. And within a couple of hours, I was admitted to the hospital with multiple clots on both my lungs.
Multiple clots.
So that was the first frightener, I suppose, in the story. I stayed in the hospital for a week while they treated the clots. And at the end of the week, they took the biopsy of the lymph node and sent it off for testing. Before I left the hospital, one of the doctors had said to me that they did think it was cancerous, but they expected that it was probably something like lymphoma. And if you're going to get any cancer, lymphoma is the one to get.
It's very it's, upbeat.
Yeah. It was almost like that. They said it was very treatable. You get a few blasts of chemo and you'll be on your way again.
But I mean, despite the doctor trying to put a positive hue on it,
yeah,
Seamus, I mean, what was going through your mind when you hear that six-letter word, cancer?
I suppose it does frighten you. And, you know, even to this day, at times, cancer is a difficult word to say or hear. And I'm sure it's the same for a lot of other people who have gone through treatment or who are survivors. But it's something that you, over time, you learn to live with, and you learn your own coping mechanisms. But the biopsy testing took a couple of weeks, and I went back to the Galway Clinic for the results. Unfortunately, when I went, my wife accompanied me to the appointment, and unfortunately the doctor we were seeing said to us that you haven't been told yet. I'm sorry to tell you that it's stage 4 lung cancer.
My God.
So that came as a bolt out of the blue, and you know, Breed and I, you know, we didn't know what to do. We cried. The consultant gave us a few minutes to let it out and then compose ourselves. And he said, "Look, the testing is ongoing. He's going to investigate the treatment options. There may be a possibility of a clinical trial, and he'll bring us back again in a couple of weeks. So we had a lot to absorb and comprehend.
Yeah,
I did. I'm not sure why, but I did ask what was the prognosis, and he said, "Well, at 46, you're young enough. Generally, it's given as around 18 months, but given your age and your condition, you should survive a good bit longer."
That's still absolutely devastating to hear, though, when you hear there is a potential end date to your life.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I do have one sister who has who has breast cancer. She's a long-term survivor. She's based in Canada, in Toronto. And that was our only close family experience of cancer. And it just came as a total shock. And as you said, hearing an end date was just unbelievable. You know, you consider that while nobody tells you, is it time to go home and get your affairs in order, or what do you need to do?
Yeah, I mean, were you able to even think clearly about what to do next? I mean, are you thinking, Seamus, about all the things you haven't done in your life that you need to do, all the things you haven't said to people that you need to say at some point? Or are you just too, it's too much of an emotional turmoil to even think with any clarity?
It is. It sends you into somewhat of a daze. And one of the things that I'm not sure why I did it, but almost immediately, Breed and I told our families, because we felt it's important that they hear the news from us rather than from any other sources.
Of course, yeah. So what happened next, Seamus? You're trying to spend the next while coming to terms with the diagnosis. It'll be in or around 18 months, but hopefully your age, you're told, you'll have a bit longer. But yeah. When did treatment begin in earnest, and when did things start to look a bit more positive for you?
So the first part was going back to the consultant in the Galway clinic. He proposed me for a clinical trial. And to get on a clinical trial, you have to meet certain criteria. One was the testing of the biopsy. The sample needed to have a protein with a positive condition. And if it was positive, you could be on the trial. If it was negative, you wouldn't be allowed on the trial.
Okay.
Another criteria was that they look for generally healthy participants. And in my medical history, I had colitis in my 20s. And that was another exclusion criteria. But the consultant said, actually, you may have had it, thought you had it in your 20s, but you've had no other symptoms since. We can do a scope, and that can definitively tell us if you've had it or not. We did the scope, and luckily, I actually hadn't had it. So I was accepted on the trial, and then there was a randomized arms within the trial. So there was a number of different options for immunotherapy or chemotherapy, or mixtures of both. Very luckily, I was on the arm with two different types of immunotherapies, and I went to the Galway University Hospital. I started in, I think it was July 2016, and I, for 2 years, I went up every fortnight for treatment of one of them, and on every third visit I had the second one on top.
Was that very tough treatment, Seamus, be it from a physical or mental point of view?
I was delighted to be on the clinical trial because the clinical trial actually gave hope to my situation. And the fact that when you're on a clinical trial, you're generally at the cutting edge of science. You know, the doctors are testing new treatments that they believe will work. Luckily for me, the treatment did work. In comparison to chemotherapy, you don't have the obvious outwardly signs of illness or, you know, losing your hair or things like that.
Was that another positive for you?
You know, I wasn't overly concerned about my appearance. I was quite glad that I wasn't generally sick with it. But throughout the first year of treatment, fatigue was a big side effect. And it was a case of learning to live with that and learning to manage the fatigue. Fatigue affects different people in different ways, and we just coped with it, you know.
I mean, ultimately it was all worth it. It all worked out. Can you tell us how long the process took and when you heard that this treatment had been successful and that you were lung cancer free?
Yeah. So I was on the, when I signed up for the clinical trial, I signed up for 2 years of treatment. And as I said, that treatment began in July 2016. A part of being on a clinical trial is that the staff take great care and attention and monitor everything about you. There's plenty of health questionnaires and lots of medical assessments that are done. Also within the clinical trial, you get a CT scan every 6 weeks in the first year, and then from there on in every 12 weeks. One of the things that I noticed was while I had, I think it was 7 or 8 lesions at the beginning, the wording of the CT reports was always on the positive side. And by around April 2017, it was my first CT report that said I had no evidence of disease.
How did you feel when you read that sentence?
It was incredible. And, you know, several people said to me, are you sure you had stage 4 lung cancer in the first place? Because, because, you know, it's unheard of. It's unheard of to come back within, you know, 7 or 8 months and have no evidence of disease. So it's like, you know, all your birthdays have come together. You've won the lottery, the whole lot in one.
You must feel like you've been given another shot at life. Has it, Seamus, changed your outlook? I mean, do you approach life differently now since you've had this second bite of the cherry, so to speak?
Absolutely, yeah. I think on a personal level, I'm a lot more health conscious. I'm not in any way a health freak or anything like that, but I'm a lot more conscious of, you know, sleeping, getting enough sleep, eating correctly, and getting exercise. One of the things that I took up while I was in treatment and during my journey was I started running. You know, I started running at the age of 48, 49. I go out a couple of times a week when I can. Not so much during the winter now, but
no one would hold that against you.
Yeah. But that's on the personal side, and also on the public side. I'm part of a new organisation that's set up in the country. It's called the Irish Lung Cancer Community. You know, we're here to support each other and educate each other, and we have a Facebook page called the Irish Lung Cancer Community and ILCC in brackets after it. And once a month, on the first Thursday of every month, we have what we call a fireside chat. And it's a safe space for, you know, patients and carers to talk to each other for an hour in a confidential way. And, you know, it's proved a real treasure that, you know, we can talk to each other. It's always been something that's been missing for a lot of people, that they have no one else to connect to, that they can relate to.
Absolutely brilliant that you're doing that. And I guess your story, Seamus, is a kind of a beacon of hope for others who maybe have gotten a similar diagnosis and are in an absolute emotional turmoil. Also with us is Aoife McNamara from the Irish Cancer Society, their Information Development Manager. Good morning to Aoife.
Hi, Alan. How are you? Thanks for having me. And apologies, I actually got cut off for most of that conversation, so apologies for that.
No problem. Well, Seamus was just telling us his incredible story of being diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and thankfully, mm-hmm. you know, he was given 18 months to live, and thanks to clinical trials, is now lung cancer free. I mean, you know, Seamus is one of the lucky ones. For a lot of people, when they get a diagnosis of lung cancer, particularly stage 4, it's pretty bleak. What advice would you have for people in terms of, I guess, what they can do to try and avoid lung cancer, but also what the symptoms would be if they just notice anything, they can try and get on top of it?
Sure. Well, I suppose, as you said, the majority of lung cancers, unfortunately, are diagnosed at a late stage. So what we're trying to do in the Irish Cancer Society is push out the message that early detection is key. And for your listeners, what they can do then, I suppose, is pay attention to your lungs. Like, do you have any symptoms with your breathing that you're concerned about? So it could be anything. It could be feeling more short of breath. It could be coughing or a change in cough. It could be coughing up phlegm or coughing up blood. You know, it could be pains in your chest when you're coughing or breathing in, feeling more tired, feeling hoarse. I sometimes am reluctant to start listing out symptoms, because then you have people go, oh, well, I don't have any of those. And I suppose the message is always, if you notice a change in your body, get it checked out. And when it comes to your lungs and your lung health, it's predominantly to do with your breathing. If you go to your GP can very simply order a simple chest x-ray, which is an easy test to have. Based on the results of that, they can decide then whether or not you need to be sent to what we call a rapid access clinic. And for your listeners in the Midwest, there's two rapid access clinics out there. They're in Galway Hospital and Limerick Hospital. And they're specialist nurses and doctors who'll be able to assess a chest x-ray, get a patient in and do the relevant tests. So get them in the door as quickly as possible. And ideally, if they do have lung cancer, to diagnose them as quickly as possible. Seamus is a fantastic example of somebody who's benefited from clinical trials. And I suppose the message we're always pushing out is, the earlier you're diagnosed, the more treatment options there are available to you, whether it's clinical trials or, you know, more standardized treatments that have been around longer, be it surgery or drug therapies or radiotherapy.
Okay, and good to hear that there, if people can spot it as early as possible, there are a number of treatments. And Seamus, what would your overriding message be to people out there, particularly those who may and sadly have gotten a diagnosis of lung cancer?
I suppose for people who already have a diagnosis, is to talk to your doctors. Work with your doctors and ask for the possibility of getting on a clinical trial. That's most important. You should also ask for your biopsy sample to be molecular tested. The amount of advances in lung cancer in the last 10 years is incredible. There must be, you know, up to 20 new treatments. So there's a lot of hope out there. You know, in the past, there might have been just chemotherapy as a single line of treatment for patients. But now there's all sorts of different things like immunotherapy. Chemotherapy is still very valid in certain circumstances. And depending on the molecular condition of your sample, there's also a lot of targeted therapies. You know, people are able to take their treatment now in a tablet form, which is fantastic. And people are living for a long time with advanced lung cancer.
That's great to hear. Seamus, thank you so much for coming in and telling us your story. It's brilliant to hear that it, you've been given a second chance and you're very much taking that, and even inspirational in terms of doing all that exercise and yeah. getting out there and beating the a path on the roads and looking after yourself. And I guess that's key for other people out there. Do what you can to watch what you eat and how you sleep, and try and keep on top of it. Seamus Cotter, thanks very much for joining us in studio and for sharing your story with us. And a big thanks as well to Aoife McNamara, Information Development Manager with the Irish Cancer Society.